Let's talk to Matt Yeats. He is from Seven Investment Manager. Very good morning to you, young Matthew.
Good morning, good morning.
Right, headlines, these bond markets, these yields are ticking up. 10-year money well above 3% now in the US. I think the highest close on a quarterly chart for a number of years. Obviously, the Italian markets look jittery. What on earth is going on out there?
Yeah, so the US market, you have to go back to 2011 to find a US 10-year yield as high as it is today. And really, much of that was down to Powell's comments yesterday that the economy is doing extraordinarily well, you know, excellent, so many superlatives. You could kind of tell he was appointed by Trump in the way he was speaking. And really, that reflects what is a US economy that is really doing quite well. You know, there was employment figures out yesterday showing employment at 7-month highs. You had a service sector PMI, so kind of an indicator of service managers' confidence in the economy, also hitting, you know, really strong levels. And, you know, this is just painting this continued picture. You know, the US economy is doing well, and funnily enough, if you throw tax reforms at it, you throw supportive monetary policy at it, it's going to continue to go from well to even better.
That's an interesting point in terms of the tax cuts. OK, they reckon, I was reading that these could be sort of applicable and affect the market for another 2 years.
Yeah, so the tax cuts estimated at around $800 billion of a boost to the US economy. And that's a really quite amazingly large number when you compare it to some of the risks that people point out there. It really makes the trade war's impact look like just a blip. And really, that has been one of the key drivers of the US market year to date. If I look year to date, the US market up around 10%, so the S&P 500 just almost knocking on the door of that 3,000 number, whereas pretty much every other global stock market I can pick of is down. So, yep. You know, the UK down, the topics down, emerging markets down. And really, as I said, that reflects the fact that you've got this US economy that is really strong, you've got this Fed policy which is supportive, and then you've got on top of that the tax cut. So it's almost like this perfect storm, but in a good way, for an investor in US equities at the moment. Really looking forward, though, that's what's happened. The question needs to be is, what's the catalyst to keep that US market pushing higher?
Right, so what on earth's going on in Italy?
Yeah, so Italy has been, you know, back in the spotlight this week. So there's really a head-off between the Italian government and Brussels coming down the line in the next few weeks, and that's on the prospects for a budget submission for Italy. So there is rumours and, you know, conjecture that there's the possibility that Brussels could even turn down or kind of reject the proposals from the Italians.
Yeah.
And really, this is getting us back to the point which we haven't seen for a very long time in peripheral markets in Europe, where actually bond yields are being pushed to these levels that people are deeming potentially unsustainable. If I go back to the, you know, the European debt crisis and the summers of 2010, 2011, you know, we started approaching these magic numbers where even if nothing improves, just to service the interest on that debt was, you know, going to be impossible. And Italy, you know, the longer these negotiations go on and this politicking goes on, even if the economic picture improves, even if the budget situation improves, just the damage that's already being done in terms of where interest rates are in Italy could prove too much to overcome. And really, that's been one of the key headwinds, if I look in the last few weeks, for the European markets. You know, Italian bond yields and the return of stress in those peripheral European markets, that's really been a strong headwind to European economic growth and subsequently to European equity market growth.
And finally, got to ask the question, Brexit, you guys managing money, OK, how are you factoring that in?
Yeah, so Brexit, it's the question that's really, really hard to answer. But the one thing I can say with a little bit more certainty than that is that the main way Brexit is likely to play out in internationally diversified multi-asset portfolios is through the currency. And if anything's been shown through the past few years, it's shown just how diversified end investors are in the UK now, if they are invested in foreign currency and foreign assets. I talked about that strong global economic picture, specifically in the US. So people that are invested globally have exposure to that. People that are invested globally have exposure to the natural hedging that foreign currency offers them in that Brexit scenario. Potentially protecting against those currency gains that investors have seen in the last few years is an important factor that we're considering, certainly, as multi-asset investors. But, yeah, I've said it a few times already. I'd go back to Brexit is a concern locally in politics and locally in economics. But for people internationally invested, it's a reminder of just how powerful diversification can be, with most multi-asset portfolios flat or up year to date in a world where we've seen the hard Brexit picture look increasingly more likely.
Understood. And finally, Theresa May, when she loses her PM tenure, whenever that is, do you think she could take up dancing, perhaps a Saturday night Strictly Come Dancing series?
Who knows? I mean, I certainly won't be putting myself forward as her dance partner any time soon. But, yeah, that's even more difficult to call than Brexit, I think.
Matt, on that note, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you.